Okay, we're doing Tezkeavot together with the Jewish home, and we're doing Tezkeavot up to the fourth chapter, the ninth Mishnah. And our Mishnah, Rabbi Yonatan Amar, Kolam Keim Tatorah Me'oni Sofo L'Kaimah Me'osher. Whoever keeps the Torah out of poverty will ultimately keep it out of wealth. V'cholam Batel Tatorah Me'osher Sofo L'Batla Me'oni. And whoever doesn't learn Torah because he's too wealthy, so ultimately his poverty will also keep him from learning Torah. We're all looking for the good life. One of the beautiful things that Western civilization does for us is it tells us at the end of each story, and they lived happily ever after. They lived happily ever after. They lived happily ever after. In real life, it doesn't work that way. In real life, when Prince Charming woke up Snow White from her sleep, a week later she said, you didn't do the dishes. And a day later she said, hey, how come you walked all over my wet floor? There is no such thing as they lived happily ever after. Life is a constant, you can look at it as a constant struggle, but really, life is constant potential for growth. And sometimes it's frustrating because a person feels like, I finished dealing with this. Didn't we work this out? And suddenly you're up to point number two to work out. Yeah, that's the nature of the world. That's the nature of the human being. That's the nature of every business, every relationship, the whole service of Hashem. We're always working to grow. There is no such concept as I've made it. That's it. Now let me sit back and enjoy life. Doesn't work that way. But enjoying life is being productive in life. I had a roommate in yeshiva that whenever I complained to him that I don't have koch, this is too tough, he'd tell me, get some bananas and climb on a tree. And he was right. If God put us on this earth to enjoy life, then we'd be monkeys. We'd be with bananas at the top of the tree. Monkeys don't have to worry about a whole lot of things. They have to worry about the hunter down below. That's about it. The tiger, the lion, the bear, oh my. But then, you know, life is pretty calm up there with the banana trees. But God gave us capacity to grow. And so the Mishnah tells us if you keep Torah, if you stand up to the challenge of poverty, so then you should know that God's going to give you a harder challenge. That's the challenge of wealth. When you have wealth, so then you got to keep up with all your businesses and all your assets, and it's hard to learn Torah. What happens if the reverse? A person has Torah, and he has wealth, and he doesn't learn Torah because he's so busy with all his learning, with all his businesses, and eating, and drinking, and sleeping. So Hashem says, okay, then I'll take it away. What's this similar to? The husband that comes home from work, and he sits down and opens the newspaper. And his wife looks and says, oh, you have time to read the paper? Come do the dishes. He finishes the dishes, he sits down to read the paper, and she says, oh, you have time to read the paper? Go fold the laundry. He goes and folds the laundry, goes back to read his newspaper, and she says, oh, you have time to read the paper? I have to wash the floor. I don't have time to read the paper. It's okay, forget the paper. Well, the truth is that it's very true. The wife is killing herself all day at home. And if the husband can come home and show her, I have time to sit back. Well, she doesn't have time to sit back, so she's going to say, why don't you help me out in the house? And she's right. Hashem tells us, if I gave you money, and instead of using that money in order to learn Torah, you say, I don't have time for Torah. I got to go on my vacation, and I have to go on my my night out and the restaurants. And Hashem says, oh, you have time to waste? I'll keep you busy then. Okay, if you have the time, then if you have extra time on your hands, so then there are things that have to get done in the world. Someone has to deal with this problem or that problem or the other problem. When Hashem gives us wealth, Hashem gives us a tool. Hashem says, I expect you to use it wisely. I expect you to use your time wisely. Very often a husband comes home and wants to read the newspaper or sit down on the net, and it drives the wife crazy, and legitimately so. Because we all know that that's a waste of time. You don't have to be on top of how many planes bombed Libya yesterday. It's not so important. It's not so critical for you to know that Beijing stinks so badly that they just installed 100 special cars that have fans, that, you know, they have 200, I don't know even what they're called in English, places where they burn garbage. In China, in Beijing, just in the capital, 200. Here in Israel, I don't know if we have five. In Beijing, they have 200 just in Beijing, and the city stinks so badly. They have these special cars now going around to spray perfume. Your wife's going to see your ring then. She's going to say, go buy me perfume. What are you reading about Beijing's perfume? Who cares about Beijing's perfume? And she's right. You know it's not important. So in England, they just licensed a car that flies. It only costs $200,000. But in England, next year, I didn't say it was bad. You just have to wonder how many engines it has. Next year, you could buy a car that flies. You only need 20 hours of practice before you get a license. 20 hours, isn't that something? Okay, and you need 15 meters of driving space before you could take off. Now, if your wife's going to see you read that, you better have a good excuse and say, I needed that for an example in class tonight. Otherwise, she's going to say, what are you doing on the net doing that? Come do the dishes, do the floor. And she's right. And husbands get very frustrated. Husbands say, can't I have a minute to breathe? So it's fair you should share with your wife that you need a minute to breathe, but then she's going to share with you that she needs it too. And she doesn't have it during the day. But truth be told, my recommendation to couples is that when they get off the bus or when they're driving home, they should get off a stop earlier or sit at the bus stop and catch their breath. Take their 5 minutes to read what they want in the newspaper before they come home. Because the nature of the way couples feel is that when a husband comes home, the wife wants one of two things or both. She wants his attention. She wants to share with him everything that happened in her day. And he usually wants his quiet. So you can understand that the formula is set up for disaster when he comes home. Or she wants his help. And he wants to come home to his palace and sit back and read his newspaper, have his cup of tea and rest. But she doesn't have that capacity. She's been working like a dog all day. And when he comes home, and it's very hard for her to swallow, how come he's coming home and kicking back? So I often recommend, take your 5 minutes at the bus stop, catch your breath, and be prepared. When you're coming home, you're not coming home to your palace, you're coming home to your second job. You're coming home to oh, your first job, fine. You're coming home to help play your role in the homemaking. And if you need the break, that's legitimate. But it's also legitimate that your wife is going to have a hard time seeing you come home and kick back when she doesn't have that privilege. Maybe you should say, let me do the dishes, let me do the other things, and you sit back and rest. Because the truth is that a wife's job today is very, very hard. We don't live in the extended families we once used to live in. We live in nuclear families, which basically means the husband is out working most of the day, and the wife, even if she's working, most often the way the jobs are divided, there's a lot of responsibility on her shoulders that if she doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. And what she needs at the end of the day is a helping hand, more than to watch her husband sit back and have his cup of tea. So the Mishnah tells us that God says, if you have extra time because I gave you too much money, I'll keep you busy. Don't worry, I'll take away some of that money. If you use that time to learn Torah, then Hashem says, okay, I gave it to a good person. But as the Mishnah taught us, having wealth is a greater test than having poverty. And I can say that in my life I've seen many poor people who succeeded in Chinuch, and almost no wealthy people that succeeded in Chinuch. I had the good fortune to come in contact with many, many wealthy people and their children's drug addictions and suicides, and their children's doing all kinds of things, from crashing up Ferraris and all kinds of wonderful things with the extra money that their parents had. But I've seen a lot of failures and almost no successes. I think it's hard for me to count on one hand. I don't think it's even 5% of the wealthy people who could say they're happy with the way their kids turned out. Very often, like the Mishnah says, wealth is a greater challenge than poverty. And the Mishnah tells us that if a person doesn't know how to use it wisely, so then Hashem says, fine, I'll let you deal with the challenge of learning Torah out of poverty. Tov, let's end on a good note. Chazal tell us that the greatest partner we have in life is our wife. And it's not only the greatest partner, but Chazal say wealth or poverty, meaning how much money you have in the bank account, is not the definition of happiness. The definition of happiness is the relationship you have at home. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, Tov, it's good if you're living even on the corner of a roof. You don't even have the. You're not even living inside the house. You don't even have the whole roof to yourself. You're on the corner of the roof. Va'ava sham. But you have love there. If you have love there, like the Gemara says, they used to say in their days, when we were lovers, we could both fit on the blade of a knife. And when we quarrel, then the biggest castle isn't big enough for the two of us. So love makes it that the wealth and the lack of wealth, they fall by the wayside. They're not what's important, and they're not what makes a marriage. They're a challenge to the marriage, but they're not what makes a marriage. What makes the marriage is the love that's there.